This is the Employment Law Show.
And welcome to it, 6:32 on a Monday. We're here, and this is it. We made it through. Is everyone safe? Did you go dark? Did you crash your car? You checked the children, checked the pets for 3.5 minutes? We made it through, eh? Man, that was dicey for a while there, Alex. I'm not sure if the planet was going to sit through that eclipse and come out the other side and be unscathed, but there you go. Got a little dark in Toronto. Like thunderstorm dark, but Niagara looked kind of cool. But either way, something hasn't changed, and that would be you bewildered by employment laws and what your boss is doing and maybe why you've been let go or told that you get very little severance. These are the important questions, and they get answered on this show every night of the week. John Scholes here, Alex Lucifero, your guy from Sam Firu to Markin LLP. Good to have you along here, and we got a half hour to get her done. We are going to... Man, we got to cut down on this mountain of email we get every week, Alex. I think we'll dive into a bunch of these over the course of this show. So if you've sent one along, it might be coming up here in the show. And you can always send one along to Alex and his team. And that would be help@employmentlawyer.ca. We'll get to that here in just a bit. But we always kick off with pal with the week that was or the case of the day. What do you got going on?
That's absolutely right, Johnny. Good evening to you. Great to be back with you, as always, talking rights for employees and employers when it comes to the workplace, when it comes to employment law. Another busy, busy start to the week. John in our office continuing to help people resolve their workplace situations, giving advice, solving problems, helping people, of course, get the severance that they're owed. Really, we speak to people every single day, John, people that have heard this show, or they've seen our TV show, or they've been put in touch with us through a family member or a friend. That's how we get a lot of our calls, John. People hear about us through others. People see us out and about, and they give us a call because they're dealing with a situation at work. They're dealing with a situation, John, that's causing anxiety, that's causing stress. They don't know the answer to the questions that they have, and they need some help. John, they want to know what their rights are. They want to know what options they have. And as you very well know, that is exactly what we do when it comes to the workplace, when it comes to employment law. We help people resolve their workplace problems. It's the bread and butter of our work and of what we do, and it's what we pride ourselves on. And what's great about speaking to people every single day, and I spoke to probably a dozen people today, John, and what I love about my work is, listen, not every situation is perfectly resolvable. Not every situation is easy. And, I don't want to be overly, rose-tinted glasses here. But I can tell you for a fact that after I speak to people and explain what their options are and explain what rights they have, John, people feel a heck of a lot better about their situations. And people are really just grateful to know, again, where they stand, what options they might have in any given situation. So, listen, if you're tuning in right now, listening to us right now, and you're dealing with a difficult situation at work, maybe you've been let go from your job and you've been offered some sort of severance. Maybe your manager or even a coworker, for that matter, is mistreating you and you're dealing with a kind of nasty, poisoned work environment. Or maybe you're an employer, right? Maybe you're a small or medium-sized business owner. You're dealing with a difficult employee or things are changing in your business and you're not sure how to handle your employees. Listen, give us a call right now. It's an opportunity to speak with an employment lawyer, speak to somebody that can help you get on the road to resolving your workplace situation. Let's alleviate that stress. Let's alleviate some of those concerns. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk. We're here to help. And listen, you don't want to call into the show? That's okay. I get it. Some people are, particularly shy, particularly bashful. Give us a call at the office. Conversations with an employment lawyer are always confidential. They're always strictly private. Feel free to ask any questions you want, discuss any issues you'd like to discuss, and you could certainly give us a call at the office. The case of the day, John, let's move on quickly to that because I see we're lining up a few calls already. Case of the day, John, involved a situation that, hate to say it, we're seeing a lot more of nowadays, and that is businesses, employers, companies winding down, ceasing their operations. Spoke to a very, very nice older gentleman earlier this afternoon, John, who'd been with the same company for about 15 years. And just in February of this year, so I guess a couple of months ago now, his employer, the company, decided that it was going to cease operations. Business wasn't great. They weren't making the profits that they were hoping to make. And so they've decided that they're going to be slowly shutting down their business. The company has already let a number of people go. John, this individual that I spoke with was a manager with the company, and he tells me that there are basically a handful of employees left, including managers. And interestingly, he was told, John, that the end of March was going to be effectively his end date. They would be really shutting down the company for good at the end of March. Lo and behold, we are into April now, well into April now, and they're still working. He was at work today, and they're still going and they're still operating, and he has absolutely no idea when the business is actually going to formally shut its doors and stop working. And John, he wanted to, you know, and this is causing him a huge amount of stress.
Sure.
Huge amount of anxiety. He wants to know what his rights are. He wants to know what options he has. He's feeling like every day that he goes into work, you know, is today going to be my last day? When am I, what kind of severance am I going to get? You know, when's my last paycheck going to be? And he's having a hard time even looking for that next job, John, because he doesn't know when his end date is, right? He doesn't know. What are you going to tell a prospective employer? Oh, I may be available next week. I may not. Well, a very, very difficult situation for an employee. And again, he just reached out kind of preemptively and said, what do I do in this situation? You know, practically speaking, I'm under such stress not knowing what my future holds. What can I do here? And it's a great question, John. It's an extremely relevant question. And here's what I told him. And listen, I get it. Despite those uncertainty, all of those practicalities of paying your bills, hoping, you know, knowing or not knowing that you're going to have a job in the next week or in the next few months, I get all of those practical struggles and difficulties. But I did have some really good news for him, actually, from a legal point of view. So a couple of points here, John. Number one, really important to consider and keep in mind, when a business closes, when a business ceases operations, right? We're not talking bankruptcy here. We're not talking the company's out of money and can't pay its bills and it's done. The company is still making money, just not as much as they'd want to make. And again, they're not going bankrupt. In a situation like that, employees are still owed severance. There is no question about it. There can be no debate about it. This employee, when he is done work, he is going to be owed the same severance that an employer making millions and millions of dollars is going to owe its employees. So the financial circumstances of an employer, even in a situation where the business is closing, does not affect an employee's severance entitlements. The only thing that could potentially affect those entitlements is a bankruptcy. And I hate to say it, John, and you know this very well. We've touched on it before on the show. You're in a situation, if your employer is claiming bankruptcy, you're in a situation where you are really, really stuck. You are not going to be receiving really potentially any, if much, money if your employer is claiming bankruptcy, but not the case when a business closes. Right. Second point that I relate to this individual is this uncertainty around his end date. As much as, again, practically, John, it may be stressful, it's actually quite good for his severance entitlements, John, because if his employer would have given him formal notice of his termination, right? If they told him back in February, hey, unequivocally, you know, April 30th or, you know, March 31st is going to be your last day of employment, and it was written in stone and there was no doubts about it, that notice, John, counts towards an employee's severance entitlements. It takes away financially from the money that you're owed because notice does count as severance. So this individual, if he doesn't have any notice, if he goes into work the next day, it's going to be the case that he will be owed his severance monetarily, his full severance entitlements, not just those minimum entitlements. So practically, very stressful, very difficult situation. Legally speaking, he's actually very well protected here, even though the company's closing, and even if he doesn't know, John, at the moment at least, his end date.
All right, guys, we got to a couple of calls here before we get into a quick break. Guys have been standing by, so I want to take them first. Steve, you're up first, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, brother. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, well, I was working as a casual employee. They called me an independent contractor, but I believe I was a casual employee at a private college for about a year and a half, and I was let go not too long ago. They said they were going to pay me out for the remainder of the semester. But since I was at the organization, and the rest of the semester is about 3 weeks, I only work about 6 hours a week, which is just a little part-time gig for me. But since I've been there, I've never, ever received any vacation pay. And I also was only paid $50 for PD sessions, which I believe actually should be paid for 3 hours minimum. So I'm just wondering if I can go after them for that pay that they should have given me right from the start, as well as any severance that should be owed. They also didn't pay for any holidays. So any statutory holidays, they didn't pay as well. So I'm just wondering if I'm entitled to vacation pay, holiday pay, as well as any kind of severance on top of the, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks that they said they would pay out.
Yeah, all very important questions, Steve. And I mean, the fundamental question here that's going to answer all of those questions is, well, are you an employee of the company or of the, of the school, or are you in fact truly a contractor? It's a question that we field, I mean, literally almost on a daily basis. You'd be surprised, Steve, how many people are called contractors, even sign contracts, sign documents that name them as a contractor. And, you know, when you dig a little deeper, when you scratch at the surface a little harder, lo and behold, these people are actually employees of the company. And you're absolutely right, Steve. You can be part-time. You could be considered, quote-unquote, casual. You still may very well be an employee of the company. Now, in order to go into that assessment, Steve, my advice would be let's do it off air, right? So there are a few questions, a few issues that we can look into, you know, such as, is this where you earn the majority of your money? Do you have other contracts that you have with other, you know, other entities, other companies, other schools that you also earn money from? Do you use the company's equipment? Do they instruct you on the kind of work that you need to do? There are a number of questions here that, again, I don't think we should get into on air necessarily, but that will assist in coming to that conclusion, Steve. And again, I could tell you lots of times you can be an employee of the company, even if you are working part-time or casual. So give us a call at the office, Steve. Let's have that chat, because you're absolutely right. If you're an employee, right, then you're going to be owed severance. You're going to be owed overtime pay. You're going to be owed, as you very well mentioned, at least 3 hours minimum work if you show up to work, even if you end up working less than that. So there are lots of rights that employees might have that that contractors don't. Very important question to analyze and look into.
Steve, appreciate it, pal. Julie, you are coming up next, so hang on the line and your phone calls as well. Coming back with more of the Monday Night Edition Employment Law Show. Stand by.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
You betcha. We're back. 6:47. Lots of time still to go. Alex Lucifero is your guy. I want to remind you, always reach out to Alex. You are in fantastic hands if you need to have that chat and get down to business as far as you're concerned. They're concerned with your workplace rights, your job. That is 1-855-821-5900 to reach Alex. Help at employmentlawyer.ca. Jewel, thank you for hanging on. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, and it's a great show. We have a situation, my colleague and me, we both have a lawyer that submitted. Friend has almost 5 months, and company's playing hardball. And same thing for me, is 2 months and a half. So my lawyer is saying that we're going to go for the court, and the other one is already submitted for the court. But when you have a situation like this, how company can drag this severance or testing our ability that how long we can fight back? One of the options we have in this situation.
Yeah, it's a great question, Jewel, because of course, you know, the reason why you've gauged the lawyer, the reason why you're dealing with the situation in the first place is because you've been let go from your job. And obviously, in a situation like that, you know, money is important, right? Everybody needs to pay their bills. Everybody needs to get by and needs their finances in order. And if an employer is stalling on paying an employee their severance entitlements, yeah, of course, that's going to cause aggravation. Now, what I will say is the vast majority of employers in these situations are going to be very reasonable, and any severance negotiations that there might be are going to wrap up relatively quickly, right? At the very least, if we're talking about timing of payment here, Jewel, at the very least, an employee is owed their minimum severance entitlements. We could talk a little bit about what those are, but an employee is owed their minimum severance entitlements, I mean, really immediately upon termination. By the company's next payroll date, you should be receiving a minimum amount of severance. That is the severance that an employee is owed under the Employment Standards Act. So that'll be a kind of partial severance payment.
Yeah, lump sum.
Now,
lump sum they paid, but the thing is that 7 years working, you know, there's a lot.
That's right. So there's an additional amount there. Yeah. So we're not. So oftentimes, what we're pursuing on behalf of employees are not their minimum entitlements, not whatever lump sum amount they might receive under the Employment Standards Act, but an employee's full severance entitlements based on their age, position, and years of service. And that could be significantly more. I mean, severance could be as much as 24 months or 2 years of pay for longer service employees. Now, in a situation, and it sounds like you might be in this situation, Jewel, you and your colleague there, listen, some employers are difficult to deal with. Some employers are stubborn. Some employers are cheap. It's just the reality of life, the reality of the situation. In a situation like that, sometimes litigation is necessary, and you need to take that additional step of more aggressive forms of legal action in order to force, basically, an employer to come to the table and step up and pay. That does happen from time to time. The good news is that there is an opportunity to resolve those cases, a lot of times very early in that proceeding. Jewel, just because you're having to start formal legal action against an employer, it doesn't mean that you're going to be going all the way to a trial or all the way to a hearing, and that's going to take, you know, months or even years. Oftentimes, within the first few months of litigation, you'll be able to settle the matter. I'd like to know the specifics of your situation, what the company has offered you, you know, what you're looking for, where you're at right now, if there's a negotiation going on. Do me a favor, Jewel, just as a second opinion here. It's always good to get a second opinion, whether it's from a doctor or even a lawyer, or an employment lawyer in this case. Give us a call at the office. Let's have a no commitment chat. I'd be happy to, you know, let's figure out what the best option is for you. If your lawyer's on track, great, right? That's excellent. You should listen to him or her, and you should, you know, follow what the recommendations are. Yeah. If another course of action is appropriate, something to consider.
Absolutely. And you know what? I told my lawyer that this Leo Safro is working for all of you guys, because I've been listening these last 3-4 years. And finally, I got this problem, and it can happen to anybody. And you guys are doing for helping the other lawyers to do their job also. So it's really great work you are doing, and I really appreciate what you're doing on the radio.
We appreciate
Jewel, really,
the
yeah, Jewel, exactly. Jewel, thanks, pal. And Alex is right. Drop him a call and just have a chat for sure. 1-855-821-5900 to do that, Jewel. Thanks, pal. Let's get some emails. The pile is getting large, Alex. Let's try to whittle our way through a couple of these suckers. Kathleen says, guys, at the beginning of March, my employer gave me notice that my employment will be ending June 28th of this year. This week, I was told that new work is coming in and that my employment will not end. At least for now, can my employer do this?
Yeah, they can, John. And this is similar, obviously, to the case of the day I was I was mentioning right at the start of the show. Listen, it's not illegal for an employer to change an end date potentially if you've been given notice of your termination, and then, you know, something happens and that date changes. Listen, it's something that an employer can do, John. But there is good news there. There's a silver lining there for employees, which is that, and the law is very clear on this issue, if an employer basically reneges on an end date, you know, like is the case here for Kathleen, if your employer has now said, oh, it's not June, sorry, Kathleen, we need, you know, we're going to need you to stick around for longer, that notice that you've received, Kathleen, it doesn't count for anything. Whereas if they actually stuck to that date, if they stuck to the notice and you got notice in March that your employment is ending in June, well, then those 3 months are going to count against your severance. You're ultimately, let's say your severance entitlements is a year's pay, 12 months of pay. Well, you'd be owed only the balance of that after the 3 months of notice, meaning you'd only be owed an additional 9 months of pay because the employer gave you 3 months of notice. Now, Kathleen, because it's the case that your employer canceled that notice and you're going to be continuing beyond that, when your employment does end, well, we're starting from scratch now, right? So you're going to be owed that full year of pay. So legally, again, not a bad situation. You're going to get more money in your pocket because of it.
Yeah.
But I get it, John. Practically speaking, you're trying to organize your affairs. You're trying to organize your life. And if you don't know when your employment's coming to an end, but you know at some point soon it is, man, that's a stressful situation to be in.
Get to Yusuf here, because the guys who worked for the same company in Brampton for almost 10 years, started as a regular salesperson and worked my way up to manager. Last week, the company's GM told me they're making cuts and my job is likely to be one of the positions eliminated. What can I expect as severance if I'm let go? In my mid-50s, and it's going on to be very difficult at my age to find that next job. You got that right. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, tough situation for Yusuf, because he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's either it's either looking at a very difficult job market, or alternatively, maybe you're looking to change careers even at that point in time. But if he said he's in his 50s, listen, I get it. That's a really, really tough situation. Listen, John, management level position, I think you said 10 years of service, or almost 10 years of service. Yusuf is in his mid-50s. He's going to be looking, John, quite easily at a year's pay as his severance entitlements in that situation. And I say quite easily because that is really the number that, I don't care if you're another employment lawyer or a judge or a mediator, 12 months is the number that everybody is going to land on when it comes to Yusuf's severance entitlements. Hopefully, he can find the job within that period of time, right? So keep in mind that severance, the purpose of that severance is it's meant to hold that employee over until they can find that next job. If Yusuf is really out of luck and really stuck because, he's going to have to be starting from scratch in terms of his job search, he might even be owed more than that. John, I've certainly seen courts and seen employers pay, 14 months before to employees. He's in that range for sure. And so, Yusuf, and you're in that situation, once you're let go, once you have those documents, listen, give us a call. Let's have a chat. I could tell you this, the opposite of the situation Jewel was describing just now on the line. A lot of these situations, the vast majority, John, really easy to resolve, really straightforward. The company doesn't make him a reasonable offer. I think we'll make pretty short work of getting Yusuf his proper severance entitlements.
Yeah, he's one of those cases where we're not sure how rare or how tough his job is as a manager to replace. Maybe there's one on every street corner, maybe there's not. Plus that and his age are two of those main factors that will contribute to that length of service as well, right?
Absolutely. And listen, a lot of employees are in very specialized position, right? They know the software that their employer works with. They know, the contacts and the customers that their particular employer works with. And outside, and especially when you've been with that company for so long, outside of that framework, you're starting from scratch. John, I don't care how old you are, but you're starting from scratch, and it's going to be really difficult to bounce back into, and this is the most important piece, John, a similarly paying job, right? Almost anybody could bounce back at minimum wage, but that's not how it works here. Employees have the right to look for comparable employment once they've been let go, and severance is meant to hold them over in order for them to do so. And if it takes them longer to find that job because there are few and far between, then that employee is going to be owed more severance. That's the way it works.
Man, that half hour goes quickly. Thank you for your calls and emails. Keep them coming, because we're back at it tomorrow at 6:30 as well. In the meantime, reach out to Alex. Always invited to do so. Encouraged, as a matter of fact. That email address again, help@employmentlawyer.ca. The phone number you can go to when the show is not on air, 1-855-821-5900. And to make that quick severance calculation, you can do it on your own. You have the capability. And that was laid out for you on the severance calculator. That to be found at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Just that simple. Alex, you're awesome. We'll catch you next week, pal. And you will join us again here on air tomorrow night, 6:30, for the next edition of the Employment Law Show.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.